Would you turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter? I'll begin reading from verse 20. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? David said, "Be strong and courageous," to his son Solomon. "Get to work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord God, my God, is with you. He'll neither let you down nor leave you before all the work for the service of the Lord's temple is done. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites who will perform all the service of God's temple. For all this work, you will have willing and able workers with you to do it. The officials and all the people are ready to follow your instructions." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? By your word and your spirit, please light a lamp before us so our feet won't stumble. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Well, hello, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church for at least two more hours. So it's like a wow moment in my life. Here it is. I can remember just a little over 10 years ago addressing this congregation for the very first time. And you wonder what will happen during the course of your stay, how long your stay will be. And here it is, that day. This is what my family looked like when we showed up. It's what they look like now. Sue shrunk. This is what I looked like when I showed up. This is what I look like now. Go back to the last one. Well, let's see the other one. One more time. What the heck happened? Holy, 10 years is what happened, didn't it? 10 years. The loss of hair is either four daughters or 10 years in a local church. I'm not sure. Or both. 10 years and three capital campaigns. You did that. You accomplished that. 10 years and over $1 million sent in missions to people in need all around the world in our own backyard. You did that. 10 years and over 150 confirmands confirming their faith as followers of Jesus Christ. 10 years and over 80 baptisms. 10 years and 60 funerals, including my father's, which my family will always be very grateful for. 10 years and 36 weddings with free premarital counseling. 6 to 8 weeks. No charge to you. We just want to make this investment in you. And the intangibles. The fact that this congregation had enough faith that they wanted to make a pastor available in their community. And the most hidden part of that is offering a person trained, educated to be present to offer a confidential place for people to go when they're in great need and trouble. Free of charge. And begin the process of healing or confession or redemption. I can't quantify this for you, but I'm telling you it takes place every week. It is a sacred responsibility. And I thank you for making me and my family available for that ministry in this community. It's meant a lot. Some of you know that personally. So what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about the GPS, of course, If you reach into your bulletin, the Grow, Pray, and Study Guide is right there. It's available every week. And I've been banging this drum for 5 years, and today I am going to slam the outhouse door so hard on this issue. Why is this a big deal? Why is it important that you develop a spiritual practice? It's because you're a spiritual person. And having a moment in your day when you stop, when you pause, when you read something devotionally, and you meditate or you pray and you tune in, is so fundamental to being the human being that I believe that you and I want to be. Theologically, the way I think about these worship services is they're like Thanksgiving Day meal. The staff, and I have the most wonderful staff that I've worked with. One of the issues for a leader is getting the right people on the bus. And I have the right people on the bus. I have great people on the bus. And one of the things that we do is prepare a meal for you every week that you come and you dine on music and prayers and communion and fellowship and donut holes and the message. And I want you to leave with a spiritually distended stomach. I want you to be so full from the meal that we fed you on Sunday morning that you're ready for the week that's coming up. The problem is with meals is you get hungry again, right? Right. And so who's going to feed you for the rest of the week? Well, you are. You're going to feed yourself. Who is it that can't feed themselves? Babies can't feed themselves. Somebody has to feed them. But you're not babies. You're grown-ups, maturing disciples of Jesus Christ who Monday through Saturday know how to feed yourself. You've figured it out. You know how to get up and read something that will challenge you to be the very best person that you can be, to get you tuned in and on the path, ready for the challenges that are going to be facing you as a man or woman of God. For crying out loud, use the GPS or any other devotional that feeds your spirit and walk as a child of God who knows how to feed yourself. It's the last chance I get to say that. So what else am I going to talk about? I got a couple other things. We're finishing up a sermon series at the movies. Thank you, Pastor Julie, for a great idea. I love going to the movies. My wife and I go to probably a movie every week, and we love talking about the themes that are in those movies. And I'm going to end my stay here with The Lion King. Now, most of you can probably remember taking your kids to the original cartoon version of The Lion King. And as a spiritual person, you probably left that movie and said to the person you were riding with, that was a pretty spiritual movie. I mean, right at the very beginning, the raising up of the cub and holding it up before the gathered, you know, congregation of all the animals and dedicating this. I mean, we do that all the time in this church. And we're going to gather around this child and raise this child up to be the best human being that they can be as a follower of Christ. There's a lot going on in this movie. And one of the things, if you're a parent, you kind of pick up on this, is that the mom and dad are trying to figure out, what are we going to tell our kids that they're going to need so that they can be successful as we pass on this kingdom to them, as we pass the baton, because we're not going to be here forever. What is it that's essential to pass on to them? What do they need to know? What have we learned that you got to have in order to make it in this world and make the world a better place? So there's this scene where Mufasa, the Lion King, is explaining to his son Simba that he's going to one day have all the pride lands. He's going to be responsible. Mufasa says, I'm not going to be here forever. And so he shows them the pride lands, and they're beautiful, and they're lush, and they're bountiful, and there's light and color everywhere. That's meaningful. Because over in the corners, Simba says, what about that area over that dark land, that shadow land over there? And like any parent, when your child first begins to understand evil, Mufasa says, don't go there. That's all he said. Don't go there. Because you know there's danger there. And Simba takes that in and finds out it's an elephant graveyard. So what's the first thing that he does? He goes there, right? Gets his friend Nala, who he knows will one day be the queen, and they're trying to pass this knowledge on together, and the two of them go over there, and they about get killed. Exactly what the parent is fearful of, that your child will get swallowed up by darkness. But Mufasa is able to step in and able to save them, and then brings them back to the Pride Land, and then comes the talk. Give your attention to the screen.
Simba. You deliberately disobeyed me.
I know.
You could have been killed. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger. Do you understand what's at stake? You jeopardized the future of our pride.
I just wanted to show you I could do it. That I could be brave like you.
I'm only brave when I have to be, when there's no other choice.
But you're not scared of anything.
I was today.
You were?
Yes. I thought I might lose you.
I guess even kings get scared, huh?
Don't have to be brave all the time, but sometimes you have to be brave. That's kind of the same thing that David is saying to his son in this text that I just read to you. Same kind of situation. A leader is passing on the reins of leadership to his son. And listen to the similarity of what David is saying to Solomon as compared to Mufasa to Simba. Be strong and courageous. Do the work. In order to be a good adult, at certain times, you're going to have to be brave. I mean, when we talk about church, we talk about a household of faith. It's a place where we want to encourage one another's faith. And specifically as Christians, we believe that there's a God, a benevolent God, that's sent God's own self, Son of God, Jesus, to live, to set an example, to teach, to die, and defeat death through his resurrection. And that gives us hope throughout our life, guidance throughout our life, and then hope into eternity when we trust in him. But it isn't just faith. And this is the thing that I want to talk to you on my last Sunday. It's maybe the cutting edge of what God's been teaching me as a follower of Christ is it's not just faith. It's faith and courage. Because courage is a thing that puts faith into action. Without courage, it's just words. It takes courage to take these incredible principles and ideals of Christ and try to apply them in our life. And it takes grace because we're so bad at it that we're going to have fall and stumble and have to get up many times in the process of learning this. Courage. Think how many times did Christ exhibit faith in action for us? How many times did Christ show us the courage that was going to be necessary to confront evil in his own time, knowing that we would have to confront evil in our time as well? I mean, a simple story like the healing of the man born blind. There were so many rules and regulations that Jesus knew that if he healed this man on the Sabbath day, he would run afoul of the religious leaders, who proved later on that they had the ability to put him to death. But because it was the compassionate thing, because it was the right thing, he did it anyway. He had the courage to do it anyway. Or Jesus had the courage to speak to the woman at the well. The woman at the well was a Samaritan woman. She wasn't a Jewish woman. He shouldn't even be in her presence, let alone a woman that had been married a number of times and was now living with somebody. As a holy man, he should know that. And yet, he had the kindness, the decency, uncommon decency, the courage to speak to her, to invite her into the family that he was establishing. He had the courage to invite Zacchaeus to dine with him, the most hated guy in Jerusalem or Jericho. Shocked everybody. You could dine with anybody in town. Why do you pick that sinner? He had the courage to cleanse the temple of all the profit makers, so those who genuinely went to the temple could worship in peace. He had the courage to stand up for the woman caught in adultery, and in the process, he changed Western civilization forever. This is a picture of a woman being stoned to death in Afghanistan a few years ago in the northern part. She's in the pit. These men stoned her to death because she was accused of adultery. This is a picture of a man being thrown off a roof in Iraq by ISIS a few years ago because he's gay. This is a picture of circus workers in Duluth that were lynched because they were accused of speaking to a white woman. 5,000 people rushed the jail in Duluth, dragged them out of their cells. There is a darkness in humanity, in our heart. And when you think of churches like ours, we must stop thinking of church as a nice place with nice people. This has nothing to do with being nice. Think of a church as a forward operating base in a great conflict between light and darkness, where the darkness in our own hearts is being confronted on a weekly basis. And as we allow the light to begin to creep in to our own life and we begin to move from a darker shade of gray to a lighter and lighter shade of gray, we begin to reflect that light into the society around us. There is nothing tame or safe about church. This is a ferocious battle that takes place. And if we lose, well, we have many, many examples around us every day of every week of what the world looks like if we lose this battle. This isn't a nice place. And we're here not only to encourage one another's faith and these good thoughts and these good beliefs, but to have the guts and the courage to put those beliefs and ideals into action in our daily lives. There's this poignant scene in The Lion King, this children's movie that's saying a lot, where Simba has run away from his responsibilities. And Nala still has the strength of character, and she can see the darkness creeping into the pride lands, and they're losing. And she knows that they need help. And so at great risk to herself, courage, she seeks to find Simba. And when she finds Simba, she doesn't find the help that she's looking for. Give your attention to the screen.
But there's something I don't understand. If you've been alive all this time, why haven't you come home? We've really needed you.
They're fine, all right? Nobody needs me.
You're the king.
No, Scar is the king.
Simba, he's decimated the Pride Lands. There's no food, no water.
There's nothing I can do.
What about your mother? This is your responsibility. You need to challenge Scar.
I can't go back, ever.
Why? Because of what happened at the Gorge? Scar told us that...
You wouldn't understand. None of it matters, okay? Hakuna Matata.
What?
It's something I learned out here, okay? You see, sometimes bad things happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. So why worry?
Why worry? What happened to you? You're not the Simba I remember.
And I never will be. Are you satisfied?
No, I'm disappointed.
You know, now you're starting to sound like my father.
Good. I'm glad one of us does.
Hakuna Matata. There's an awful lot of people that are living Hakuna Matata lives. No worries. I mean, it's all about having a good time, comfortable life, secure life. And there's a place for Hakuna Matata on a pontoon and a lake in northern Minnesota. Your week of vacation, Hakuna Matata. But Nala gets it. Hakuna Matata is a way of life by too many people will allow darkness to swallow up everything that you and I value in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our country, in this world. One of the things that Christ asks us to be is not Hakuna Matata people, but courageous people who love deeply our families, our communities, and the things that are right in this world. When we think of Jesus, we often think of his love. But the acts of courage that Jesus exhibited are directly tied to this love. Can you look back in your life and can you think of times when you were confronted with evil and you didn't act with courage? Because each time you and I are confronted with evil within ourselves, whether it's a temptation or externally by someone else that's intending evil, we have a choice. It's a path, one of two paths. One is the path of cowardice, and one is the path of courage. And we're in the midst of that every time discerning which path we're going to follow. I can remember as a chaplain, I was assigned to a unit, and one of the parts of the unit was a Marine air wing. And so I went over to visit my unit, and there were a few hundred people over there, and I met the commanding officer, and he looked like a poster boy for a fighter pilot. And a very handsome Naval Academy grad, kind of person that we all look up to. I certainly do. And he's showing me around the spaces, introducing me to the Marines. And as we're walking through the maintenance areas, I'm seeing posters of scantily clad women in the workspaces. And there's female Marines that work there. And it's his job to say, take that crap down. And he hasn't done it. So then it's my job to tell him, that's not okay, take that stuff down. And I said, nothing. Why do we say nothing? Fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of criticism. In a broader sense, fear of failure. My penance for that moment in my life is to tell that story again and again. And every time I tell it, I feel a small feeling of vomit come up in the back of my throat because I was a coward that day. That could have been your daughter, could have been my daughter working in those spaces, that unholy space. What in God's name was I ordained for, commissioned for, to parade around in a uniform? And you don't ever want to forget that. That feeling in your gut of when I was a coward. Because if you don't forget it, that leads to repentance and a begging prayer. Dear God, the next time that I'm put in a position where you need me to speak up, please help me speak up. To choose the other path. C.S. Lewis, in his Chronicles of Narnia, has a character that plays the Christ figure. It's Aslan, the lion. And Aslan says this, to defeat darkness out there, you must defeat the darkness in yourself. It begins in here. And in some ways, in that text that David is saying to Solomon, be strong, be courageous, do the work. Sometimes the work begins in the 6-inch period between our ears more than anything else. It starts in our own heart. Before we're able to operate courageously outside of ourselves, we have to face the darkness in our own heart. And we have to start feeding the goods that God has placed in our heart so it gets stronger. So it's better able to discern the brave path. Brené Brown, the counselor, professor, writer, says, integrity is choosing courage over comfort. Choosing what is right over what is fun and fast or easy. Choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. So I want to challenge you. I remember hearing a pastor say, and I think it's pretty accurate, one of the most dangerous prayers that you can ever pray is for a prayer for patience. Because what does God have to do in your life in order to teach you patience? Are you really asking for patience? Do you really want patience? I think I've figured out a prayer that's more dangerous than that. Would you be willing to pray for courage in your life? To grow in courage, to be brave. And then every day, look for those moments when the paths appear before you and choose the brave path. Don't even look too far down the road, the cost. That's going to complicate things. Just choose courage. As I end my time as your pastor, I want your faith in God to increase, in God's ability to defend you and protect you. I want your faith in Jesus Christ and his promise that I will never leave you or forsake you, to grow. To have faith that the Holy Spirit is present here with you right now to guide and help you through all the challenges of life. But more than anything else, I want you to have the courage to take that faith and put it into action. Amen.